When I was growing up, I used to get in trouble a lot. I've got four sisters, and I'm the second eldest, and I used to just tease them a lot and make fun of them. I'd set up booby traps in our backyard trying to get them to trip over or do things like that. So if there's any kids here, don't learn from me. But as a young boy, I used to be quite afraid of my dad because I was afraid that he would, you know, tell me off for these things that I was doing, and I'd always sort of find myself, you know, getting up to mischief. And I started to become afraid of my dad. He was a big guy. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking of the Pharisees in the gospel. That they're so often, they're actually afraid. They're afraid of breaking the law. They're afraid of the punishment that they would receive. And they're afraid of being outside of that. And so they would be very, they would keep to the law. They would do everything particular to keep to this law. And it wasn't a response to God's love, but more a being afraid of, you know, receiving punishment from him. And so Jesus is trying to explain to these Pharisees, to these leaders in front of him, and he uses this parable to explain to them. Parable that we all know, parable that is a beautiful story, but we can hear it so often that we can lose the power of this story, that Jesus is trying to speak to us, a message for us. So these Pharisees, they're grumbling a lot. They're complaining about the way that Jesus is with the sinners. And they're thinking, well, Jesus, you don't really respect sin and what it is and what it does, and you're just spending your time with people that are stuck in it. What are you doing? And so he tells the story. And it's the story of this boy or this man, young man, who goes away and he takes half of the inheritance of his father, saying, you know, I wish you were just dead so that I can get this money now. And so he asks this extraordinary request of his father. And what's more extraordinary is that the father actually grants the request. He lets him have the money. And so he goes off, and it doesn't end well for him. As he goes, he gets further and further away from where he's meant to be. That he finds himself being jealous of the pigs, eating the husks, and he wants to just have some food like them. And so for a Jewish person, that's right at the bottom. He wants to be with these unclean animals, and so he must be in a terrible place. And so he wants to be like a pig, so that Jesus is saying this man is at the very bottom of his life. He has nothing else. He has nowhere else to go. And so when he's in this place, he thinks to himself, well, you know, if I went back home, at least I'll have some decent food. So maybe I'll just go back home and I'll be like one of the hired men and work for my father, because I've disowned him. I've moved so far away from him. Maybe my father will, you know, he will help me, and because I'm his son, but I've walked away from that, and he might give me a job. And so he has this idea, so he goes off home. And then we know the story, and we've heard it before, that as the son is a long way off, and he's approaching not just the house, but he's probably approaching the village, and the father sees him. He's been waiting for him. Waiting for him because he knows if his son does come home, that the people of the village are not going to like him very much, because he sold half of the promised land that's theirs too. And so he's not only offended the father, humiliated him in front of everyone, but he's also put himself offside of all the people. And so the father knows this, and so he runs to his son. And he humiliates himself because as he runs, these leaders of the towns, they wouldn't run, these Jewish leaders. They would walk properly and slowly and gracefully. Instead, he picks up his tunic and he runs to his son. And he doesn't worry about the people around, even though he's humiliating himself. And so the son sees his father running towards him, knowing that he's humiliating himself for him. And something powerful happens in him. That he realizes that he can't earn this forgiveness or earn his way back in. There's nothing he can do. Because the speech that he said, like he had this speech that he prepared for himself, that, you know, he sinned against heaven and against earth, or against you, and now I'm no longer worthy to be your son, so treat me like one of your paid servants. But when he greets his father, who kisses him, who lavishes his love upon him, gives him his ring, gives him his own beautiful cloak to wear, his own clothes to restore him, the son, he drops that last line. He knows that he can't repay his father because he sees this costly love of his father running towards him, lavishing his love upon him. Nothing he can do to earn that love. And I know for myself, as I got a little bit older, and I was trying to do the right thing, so I'd sort of stopped teasing my sisters at that stage. But I found myself, I'd finished school and my dad was building a house, and so he'd asked me to give him a hand. And when I was building this house, I'd often find myself making some mistakes or doing the wrong thing. I was a bit of a klutz. And one of the things I did was I used to knock this measuring stick that would take the measurements of the house, really important measuring stick, and I would keep knocking it all the time. And I'd go to my dad and I'd tell him, you know, Dad, I'm sorry, I've just kicked this thing again. And he would say to me, you know, son, just don't do it again, just learn from it. But I found myself, I don't know if I had a magnet kind of attached to my foot in this thing, but I kept kicking it over and over again. I would just be so paranoid that I would actually do it. And I would find myself being humiliated, going to my dad, saying, you know, Dad, I've done it again. And I'd feel silly that I'd done it again. And I'd do that time and time again. And then there was this one time that I went to my dad, I'd done something, broken something maybe, and Dad just looked at me, and he gave me a hug. And he just said, son, I love you. And he just hugged me. And that, somehow that changed me, that broke this kind of pattern of making mistakes and falling in the same way. Because I found myself that I kept trying to make up for that thing that I'd done wrong. I'd sort of punish myself to go to my dad and tell him what I'd done, even though that it was really hard for me. And at that moment, I realized that I didn't have to do that anymore. Because I'd been trying to kind of earn my father's love and knowing that I was just doing the same thing over and over again. And at that moment, he just hugged me. And so this story for me is so powerful, and it's a powerful story for each of us. That there's nothing we can do to earn God's mercy, because that's why it's mercy. You don't earn mercy. It's given freely to us. And so this son realized that as he's coming towards his home, that's not his home anymore, that's going to be hopefully a place where he can just work and get by, that he realizes his father is showing this costly mercy, this costly love, that he's seeing it in front of everyone. But there's nothing he has done to earn that. That his father is loving him, pouring his love upon, his mercy upon him. And so Jesus is trying to say to the Pharisees that this is for you as well. Because he adds that extra part of the story of the older son, who's been trying to earn his father's love his whole life. But there's nothing he can do to earn that love. That it's given freely. But the father also welcomes him to celebrate. Not to celebrate just the son, but to celebrate his mercy that he has for him as well. And so tonight, whether you're the younger son or the older son, whether you feel like you've walked away, or whether you feel like you've been there the whole time trying to do the right thing, trying to earn your father's love, that God would just want to say, just come to me. Just come as you are, that I'm willing to pour out mercy upon you that has cost me greatly in my son as he walked towards the cross, humiliating himself. That he does that for each of us. He offers that mercy for us. And so to really receive that mercy, cry out to God tonight on this special Sunday of really rejoicing, praising God for his great mercy upon us, that he pours upon each one of us if we cry out to him.